Okay, everybody, welcome back to another edition of Dose of Reality. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. As always, I'm here joined by Justin Cook. And we have our special guest today, the creator of the September Clues movies, some of the other videos you've seen out there, maybe the Vixen investigation, the 9/11 actors. Simon, what are some of your other videos that you have?
Hi, everybody. I have a few on YouTube, my channel, Simon Scheck on YouTube. And all right, awesome. Like I have about 12, I think, or 14. Which are, you know, the 9/11 amateur series,
mm-hmm.
which where I analyze in more detail the alleged amateur imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, have you seen any of these ones?
I think I've gone through most of them. I might have missed one or two of them, but I know that I've been on your channel and I've tried to check everything out.
Anyway, they're all listed on the website on September Clues Info. There is a page where there are links to all of them.
And septemberclues.info is where anybody can find your movie, they can find your forums, and they can find a bunch of articles that you did on 9/11 onto specific areas like the victims and the memorials and, you know, analyzing the jumpers, analyzing this, analyzing that. It's all pretty organized, pretty easy to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and on the – let's see now – I think I would recommend for anyone who has seen September Clues, the main film, maybe to at least watch the addendum, September Clues addendum, because that's the one where I started, you know, getting a hang of the fact that the entire scenery of Manhattan was faked. So, you know, that brought me to the conclusion that the entire broadcast that morning were just, you know, just one big Hollywood film split into small pieces.
No, I know what you're trying to say, and some of the audience members aren't, so I'm just going to clarify it for them a little bit. Dave,
sure.
What you're saying is, you know, every video that they've seen on YouTube, Camera Planet, pretty much everywhere else was really digitally manipulated. It was animation.
One thing, you know, which has to be made clear, I need to make this very clear. Everyone who like is starting to look into this must know one very crucial fact, that the nice high definition videos we have now, they came out in 2010. So, you know, I started looking at these 9/11 videos in 2005, and I never found anything which was anywhere near the quality we have now. So that's what they do. When they do psyops like this, just like they did with the moon, obviously their modus operandi will be to first release, you know, shitty, very shitty imagery. So if anything goes really bad or really wrong, they can always, you know, claim that, well, that's, you know, that's just a bad video. And you're just seeing, you know, bad pixels.
And these videos are coming from Camera Planet still? Is that who's re-releasing them?
No,
NIST to ABC, right? You said ABC got a FOIA on NIST.
Yeah, ABC got a FOIA on NIST. Can you imagine the irony? It's so funny. They're really playing with us.
Yeah.
So ABC, absolutely. Supposedly ABC did a FOIA on NIST. You know, saying, hey, you're hiding some good stuff there. Please release the high quality imagery, and that's what happened. And that's what they say happened, that NIST had, you know, was sitting on all this imagery that suddenly came out in 2010. Huh. And it's just the same old stuff re-rendered. It's still Camera Planet stuff, but they've given names to many amateur videos. You know, this one is by Bill Reisman, this other one is from Kurtzenberg, or this one, you know, they've given names to authors.
And these are all supposed to be amateurs, correct?
They are all supposed to be amateurs. Yeah. But they are nothing but a big, you know, a big pool of, you know, retargeted and rotated 3D imagery. If anybody is familiar with, you know, AutoCAD and stuff architects use to, you know, to design structures, they will use that to just rotate from different perspectives. But they may, in doing this, they do lots of cock-ups. You know, you can see that. You know, they can rotate in different layers, and they actually use different layers because they have to insert people, you know, running away and so on. So that's when they cock up and, you know, have trees and lampposts moving around a square, which, you know, they, once they are to the right, once they are to the left.
And oh, with those details,
you can, you know, you can tell they are completely computer made. There's no question about it. So you just have to be very patient and look at them, you know, and compare them. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been doing.
No, and, me personally, I didn't come around on all the collapse footage being CGI until, I'd say probably just a couple weeks ago, right, Justin? I started to say some things about it, and I told you, I think all this collapse stuff is CGI, and that's because I haven't been on your forum, Simon, in, you know, a long time. I've been back in the last week or so, but I took probably 6 months off, and I missed everything you guys were doing for a few months, and I just came to the realization from seeing a lot of videos, and many of probably which originated from you cutting them or whatever, saw them on YouTube, and you see things just like Tower 7 vanishing, or you just see all sorts of things that's impossible. And one thing I want to comment on, and I want to get Justin's opinion on this too, when you look at the videos, all right, and if you say the Herzakhani shot, the CNN second plane coming in from behind shot, okay, if you look at the building itself, it just doesn't look right, okay? It doesn't look the way the World Trade Center looks. It looks windowless. It looks
no.
I think you used the word the texture, right? The texture is wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's hard to, you know, you have to invent words sometimes to make people understand what you're talking about, because there isn't really, you know. Well, there is a science of analyzing pictures, but then you know, in this case, you have textures, you have like, sometimes it looks like, you know, aquarelle or pastel colors, and you wonder why. Well, now we know, but it took some time for us to realize that, you know, this is the software they have. It's crap. It's not a good software, and they try to make up for it. Once again, I have to say this. I mean, they try to make up for this with the new 2010 releases by NIST. But it doesn't work out. Actually, these higher definition images actually help us seeing in a clearer way the perspective problems. You know, you can't anymore say that that tree there, it looks a bit, you know, maybe out of place, but maybe, you know, it was windy that day, so the tree kind of displaced. But now you can see it much clearer that this. These are just computer creations.
And, it's crazy to think about that. I mean, that's anybody out here that's been in the truth movement for a long time. And I'm sure anybody that's been in the truth movement for a long time and is actually honest and is listening right now, they've at least looked at your work, unless they're not a serious researcher. I don't know how you guys can keep avoiding the TV fakery. I don't know why people still attack it.
You know what's crazy? Sorry. I just want to say this is, you know, because I was one of those people. I was one of these diehard truthers for a long time. I had seen your stuff for a while, and I wasn't sure. And I went back and looked at it, and I said, you know, this is probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And I said, you know, why are these people totally not even
There's
looking at it?
And then a couple,
but check this out. A couple weeks ago, I said, you know, have you even watched Clues yet? And he said, no, people told me to stay away from that. I said, well, what are you doing? I said, that's why you're still, you know, you're still stuck on all these crazy
stuck
theories,
in the mud.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one thing we must...
That's the mentality. Go ahead, Simon.
Sorry. you know, I do realize that it really does take time and patience to... You need to do that if you're interested, honestly, interested in... In getting it, you need to spend time. There is no way out of it.
Time.
So you know, it's makes me. This is can be daunting to even the most well-meaning guy. So it all adds up to time, and we need more time to make this truth come true. Through. Sorry.
No,
I don't speak English very often, so
you're totally
my
right.
Mistakes.
But the people, but what I'm saying though is these people won't even look because they've heard something along the line that was bad, and they won't even look at your work. And I'm sorry if I cut you off there, but I was just, it's just insane that it's just, that people still have these blinders on. That's all I wanted to say. But yeah, go continue what you were saying.
Those people aren't real researchers, then. You know
That's
what I mean?
It.
They're not a joke. They need the handheld. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody right now, okay? But if you guys are listening and this applies to you, you need to change your style. I mean, seriously, you need to open up to everything. You've got to look at even crazy things like Judy Wood, which is totally disinfo I looked at. All right? And if I didn't, I might have never doubted it enough to go look at some other things and get to the point where I'm at now. You know, I don't see 100% eye-to-eye with Simon on everything, but I think some of the reasons I don't is I just haven't seen the things that he's telling me now. And I mean, as far as the collapse footage, I'm 100% sure now the collapse footage is all fake. All of it. All the collapse footage. Buildings don't even blow from the top down, do they, Simon, ever?
I never seen one, no. Have you?
No, I've never seen a building be demolished from the top down. That's movie effect.
It's ridiculous, shock and awe. You know, a choice they made for shock and awe. You know, they had to make some kind of footage which showed the towers collapse because they would collapse in reality. But so they chose. Well, we're not gonna be able to make something realistic anyway. So let's just do it like, wow, you know, it explodes from the top and goes down like a mushroom, you know, it's like a flower, like a tulip, you know, expanding.
And that's why it's so symmetrical,
That just won't happen ever in reality. So, but it took everyone a long time to actually realize that they were able to do such imagery. But if you just think, stop a moment and you think, how many Hollywood films have you seen and how many incredible imageries, you know, computer graphics have you seen? I mean, we should realize now that they can do absolutely anything and it will look realistic. If they only have, you know, they take away that dark, gloomy sky they have in Hollywood films, they just put a nice blue sky and it works just the same.
It worked good. I mean, it's still working. It's not working on us anymore. But, you know, even though you've pretty much you must feel a little satisfied at your forum because you guys pretty much, you know, figured the gist of it out, you know. But other people just aren't seeing it yet. So it's going to take a lot longer, you know.
It will certainly take a lot longer. But imagine, you know, it's been 43 years and there are many people still believing in the moon landings, which is the mother of TV fakeries.
Oh, that's it is. The first, you know, we touched on that last
they
week.
They tried it out. They tried it out. They've seen it. It's been working kind of pretty well, pretty nicely. We have a majority, I'm sure, still in the world that believes in the moon landings. So, you know, they just went one step further. They now invented fake terrorist attacks with fake imagery. They knew they could pull it off.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Tell the people where else they do it. Tell them about some of the other
they
attacks.
Hopefully at the end of this discussion, that the aim of this research is we have to put our finger on who is behind this. The entire Western media, media is just one big club of culprits, or perps. And it's not just, you know, it's not just Bush or America or it's a huge club of the people who are behind the media in the world. They know, I mean, the top moguls of the media, they all know that they're doing these things. They're doing it for, you know, even in Egypt and Syria now and all the spring of, 2011 when they just took over North Africa. With fake imagery, they create the news. They don't need to even bomb sometimes. Hopefully, they're bombing less than we are told. But it's extremely efficient to use, you know, computer imagery to tell stories. And they're doing this with even smaller. You know, it's funny. You know, you don't really understand why, but why they do these things. Even up in Norway, in my country, they made this crazy gunner shoot down 69 kids on an island, you know.
Andre Breivik, correct?
Yes. But that's just a bullshit story. The guy is a digital creation, an artifact. And they're sometimes pulling out one or two pictures of him and even fake videos of him moving into the courtroom.
Yeah, no, Simon, that was a case. Now they photoshopped him in a Freemason's uniform. They shopped him and it's just, all just to give the conspiracy theorists fodder. You believe pretty much.
Sure. They know what kind of crowd will hook onto this, and you know they will. They are happy that 100 conspiracy theories are born out of their most ridiculous, this guy in uniforms, masonry on uniforms and stuff. That's fodder for the conspiracy theorists, because they love, what they need is confusion all the time. And they've obviously managed, the 9/11 truth movement in the States is obviously a big spider web of this info. Of course, the first thing they say is that, TV fakery is this info. And that's what you can read, on many forums. Oh, well, the no planers, those people are there to, discredit the movement,
Right. Yeah, that's the only thing, the truth, man.
The only argument they have, actually.
Yeah, that's all the people that never look at your work. It's always the same people that never looked at your work. All they did is go on somebody else's word.
Mm-hmm. So you just need if anybody with serious interest starts looking at it, he or she needs to know where to go, and hopefully September Clues Info will be a very good start, because we have tried to sum up everything on that website. And the next step I can recommend is the Clues Forum. Our forum, because we are constantly finding new clues and confirming all this.
Justin, yeah, I
want to see it for anyone out there right away. If you just go to, just go and check it out for yourself and look at the different networks and put them all together, like I think Simon does in Clues. Put four pictures up. And you'll see different backdrops, and right then you know that something's funny. They're all from the same angle, was it four or five shots all from the same angle, claiming to be different shots, and yet they all have one's got a bridge with three towers. You can explain it better, but it's just insane. And right there you just realize, hey, this footage I'm seeing is not real. And that should be your point to look into it, and that's the thing that they don't do, Once I noticed that, I said something's funny here, and this is you can go and take the actual official footage and look at it from each one and say, why would they do this? And then there you go.
Yeah. For me, I was fortunate that I came onto the scene really late, and everybody else had pretty much gone through all the BS theories, and not all of them, but like the pod theory and all these older things like the nukes and all that. I never even had to look really into that. About a month after seeing Loose Change, I saw September Clues, and I always knew, and I always told people, there's something real about this movie. It's so different than all the other ones. It just felt different. Obviously, it was a totally different angle. I mean, going on the media fakery and everything, but once you watch it and you watch how Simon breaks down the second plane and you see all the different trajectories and the ridiculous sound effects and the impossible shadows, I mean, you can't look at that and not believe in no planes anymore. You can't. You can't look at that and honestly think that a plane hit that building. How can you?
Well, let's not call it no planes. That's something that I think Nico Hout coined.
Absolutely.
Who himself was placed there from day one to be the name for the whole thing, and I'm sorry, this is not about rivalry, but I now know that Nico Hout and Ace Baker and those people, they look like they're, on the same boat. They've been there. Actually, Ace Baker came out after September Clues was released. He just suddenly popped out of nowhere and said, no, I'm much, much better than Simon Shaik. I'll show you how it really was done. And now he's done a big film called Psy Opera, where what does he say? He says that only the planes were inserted on real imagery. So, that's just another little,
gatekeeping. He's gatekeeping.
That's gatekeeping.
He just doesn't want you to take it farther than the planes. He wants you to think the planes are it. Everything else is real. I watched it last night because you told me I should watch it. I went and watched it. It was kind of sucky, but I like to see everything.
No, but he does the best he can to look like, I'm very clever, and he's got a very slick production behind him. I mean, he's got more money than I have. I have all my savings. Mm-hmm. And so he does a very slick movie about no place, okay? But he never goes farther than that. But now we've been at this for 4 or 5 years, and we've gone pretty much farther. I mean, we're talking also about the victims, or actually the vixims. Mm-hmm. And do we want to talk about them a little, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. We're going to get right into that. I want to spend a lot of time on that. Why don't we, before we get into the vixims, why don't we just, because we're kind of getting into it, why don't you just tell people how you got into this, and just real quick, like what the, I know what it was, but, you know, what's the first video you saw and how you got into it, and, you know, you don't have to go through your whole background. Just tell people, you know, how you came to be good with the video.
Oh, how I came into doing this?
Yeah.
You say?
Just tell people real quick, you know? Not the whole life
story.
Yeah, but...
sure. Now, like, I think a couple of days after 9/11, I just jumped up from my couch when I saw the, I think it was the Hazarkhani video. You know, you see the actual plane penetrating the tower. And as you say, the tower looks strange, but I didn't realize that, you know, 2 days later. But no. I realized that the plane just melded into the tower with wings and all, even the, you know, rear aileron, you know, the tail section. And so I jumped up from the couch and I said, this is impossible. I mean, this is just physically impossible. I've been working with Formula One racing, and, you know, I've seen cars crashing, and lots of things break off. It doesn't matter how fast or how slow it goes. It just breaks into pieces. And there's no piece falling down in the street. Not one. The plane just smoothly goes into the tower. So I was, you know, shocked. But strangely enough, I really didn't, you know, react to do something about it for years, actually, because I didn't have much proficiency with video editing at the time. I was more like a photographer and so on. And it took me some time to be able to, you know, to tackle the problem. And then I started seeing some, there was actually, I think the guy who really inspired me was a guy called Still Digging. He's got a blog still up, but it's not active now. It's called 9/11 Logic blog, I think. And this guy was really, you know, very smartly not doing videos, but he was explaining technically how some videos were absolutely impossible. So I decided to do a whole film about it and started, you know, accumulating all the possible archive imagery I could find. Sorry, that was a bit long, but, you know, that's how I came to it. And there was nothing stopping me after that, because I just kept seeing very strange images and videos.
Excellent. Okay, well, so let's talk about the Vixim report. I mean, that's probably your newest, biggest thing. I mean, it's not really new anymore, but
it's,
I mean, that's blockbuster. That's taboo, you know?
Yeah. Let me give credit to Hoi Polloi, which is an American friend who stayed with me for 6 months, and we actually did, I mean, he wrote most of it. He did the Vixim report. We were working in tandem, actually. I was, you know, going through all the memorials and you know, passing him in the pictures, and actually, he was the one who wrote the Vixim report mostly, and he's a very smart guy. And in these 6 months, we just went through all the memorials that we could find online, you know, the CNN memorial, but mostly the Voices of September 11 memorial. That's the official one, which Ground Zero uses for, you know, their big museum and memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Little cold. And we just started laughing, you know, just reading the, first of all, you know, you just start reading the obituaries, you know, the tributes that supposedly family members have left. And they were really funny. I mean, they're stupid. They're so corny. And, you know, when you start reading 10, 20, 100, thousands of them, you realize it's just bunk, you know, it's all made up. They've just probably given a couple of $1 million to a couple of third-rate novelists to write these tributes. And so we started thinking, hey, are these victims in the towers real then? Because already we knew that there were no passengers in the planes. So there had to be, you know, at least 266 fake people, because there were, in all of the four planes, apparently there were 266 passengers. But we knew that was a lie. So we started looking into the victims of the towers, which at the time we didn't have much, no way of really knowing if they were real or not. And so we started analyzing the portraits of all those people and just seeing so many evidence for that they've been, just created with face morphing. Today, even a kid can download a little face morphing program and do all kinds of faces in a very short time. So it's not difficult today, but in 2001, that kind of technology was not, was not a consumer technology. So they used that efficiently to create these people. I personally don't believe there is one single real victim, but that's more like a postulation, if you will. And unless somebody can demonstrate that one person has died a day, I will go with that. I think it's the most logical assumption. But I keep seeing just an enormous amount of ridiculous stories around these people, and they're just like, it's just like reading a novel. They have made up these people. And obviously, that's the most important thing to understand, because they had to have victims that day. It's not like Bin Laden would go and crash into empty towers. It would have been no good. They were not a good idea to. The whole idea was to kill people. So they need victims, and actually started saying there were 6,700. For 2 weeks, Giuliani was saying there were 6,700. What's going on? How could they, be so way off on the count of the victims? So gradually they went down. Okay, well, there are now only 2,900. But all the memorials actually don't even the total numbers, they don't even match from one memorial to the other. One has 2,500. And another has 2,997. Still today, you see all these discrepancies all over the place.
That's a pretty big margin of error, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, after more than 10 years, they should, have gotten their act together, but they haven't.
Now, tell the people exactly what they did with the memorial pitches as far as, making one into another person, just so people know exactly what you're talking about. Maybe we can throw a link up to Elizabeth Wino or something if you have it handy so people can look.
Yeah. They had to do, at least more than one portrait of any given victim, okay? So they decided to do two or three different, pictures, or sometimes even more. But most of the victims have like one or two pictures. So let's take, most of them have two pictures. So you find these two pictures on the two different memorials, and you compare them. And like Elizabeth Wainu, as you mentioned, she's sitting in front of some kitchen cupboard at one stage, and there are like glasses inside and mugs and stuff. And in the other picture, it's the exact same picture, and the mugs and glasses are not there. So, how did they do that picture? Did they ask her to stay very, 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 Elizabeth, stay put there. We are going to remove the glasses from behind you. You just can't do such a picture, two pictures so alike. And in other cases, you can see that they just rotated the face a little bit to make it look like another picture, but... So people will say, well, I also have the same expression in my pictures, but, I don't have any, and I've tried with all my friends. You can go in your own family album and see if you have two pictures of yourself that much alike, as so many of these victims. I call them victims, sorry, simulated victims. There are many ways of seeing that these pictures are faked, because not only are they sometimes very much, very too much alike, but sometimes they, sometimes actually they're two completely different persons. So you know, they do cock-ups in different ways. Sometimes they have, like if you see the list of firefighters, first of all the firefighters are in black and white pictures. So you wonder, you know, how come all the firefighters only have black and white pictures? And you can find many, many lookalikes among the firefighters. Like they look like twins or cousins, or which is pretty amazing, because out of a list of 330 people or something, it's quite unusual to have so many people looking different people this time. You have a Mark Swanson and Jim Craig, and they look like twins, and not once or twice, but many, many, many times. I don't like to use, you know, to say how many now again, exactly, but you can just go and see for yourself. That's on the Memorial Scams page on
okay, I already have the link up.
Info.
I have a link right below the chat, guys. Anybody that's listening, if you click that link that says the September 11th Memorial Scams right under the chat, that's what Simon's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have the names. We've done, you know, we've actually analyzed the names and surnames, and Hoi Polloi was very good at, you know, making, you know, Excel drafts of these names to compare them, and we can see it's, you know, they've been using some kind of name creating algorithm, because you can see syllables repeating from one name to the other if you go down the list. And if you place them in a certain order, in alphabetical order, you can kind of. But you know that some people may say, "Well, that's not, you know, that's not proof, that's not evidence." But you know, it's one by one. You have so many things adding up, and it's the whole thing. That's why I always tend to repeat. If somebody wants to get into this research, he needs to spend time, and he needs also to use, you know, a really, really open-minded brain to make up his own mind. I mean, nobody's forcing anyone to believe in this. You know, I'm not selling anything anyway.
But that's not the only info you have. There's other things besides just seeing the morphing and everything else too. I mean, like the SSDI and the Victims Compensation Fund and stuff like that too. So
yeah,
I mean,
thank you. Yeah, and thanks for reminding me. I mean, they even had an article on mainstream media a few months ago, asking where are the 3,000 people, you know, from the Social Security Death Index? They're missing. I mean, there are bureaucracy holes, huge, big bureaucracy hole. For the Vixen story, somebody has discovered that there were only 405 people that day who died in the entire state of New York.
Right.
So that's a bit funny, because I mean, most people were New Yorkers, weren't they? And then in the whole of the United States, in the whole of America, that day, 6,280 people died. And that's just the average. Every day, the average, daily average in the States is 6,200. So if you had only, you know, 82 more people that day than usual, it's a bit strange. You know, you would expect 9,000 people that day.
If the story was true about what they say about 50,000 people in the towers, you would expect much higher death toll.
Oh, yes.
Much higher. Okay.
Well, either way, if there was 3,000, it should be in the numbers, you know, without even speculating, it should be in the numbers. Like you said, when you go to New York and you see a normal day and it's, you know, a little bit higher than a normal day, it's, you know, what, did everybody else just not die that day? You know, it just, I don't know. Like you said, it's just, I don't know, keep going with what you're on, but, you know, that's, it's just funny to me, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, just one more, you know, one more piece of the puzzle, you know.
Right.
And the bureaucracy even confirms our thesis. I mean, I will keep calling it a thesis until it's totally proven in a in an imaginary court of law one day. But
yeah, court of public opinion. That's about it.
Yeah, that's what we could you know, maybe achieve. And there are really many more problems with the with these people. Right now, I have to check out what I could explain in words on the show. But I always say you could try and for the patient ones, you can, you know, open the victim report. So that's 80 pages, a PDF of 80 pages. And if you have a, you know, a long weekend, you can go through the victim report also.
It's really thorough. It really is really thorough. It's not like you guys just – and that's what some people try to make it look like, some of the gatekeepers. They'll make it look like, oh, these guys are just taking pictures of people that are alive. It's much further than that. I mean, these people were obviously morphed and then well, it's not so obvious that they were morphed, but it's obvious that they were photoshopped and made into two different, you know, two different times. Like, oh, this is him here, this is him here. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll just take a picture of somebody, and then they'll take a picture of him again and just throw an arm around him and give him a hug.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a series of those, you know, hugging people's. You know, there is a long series of people which have a picture smiling, alone, and the next picture is the exact same picture, and they have a hand around them, you know, around their neck, and that's really, you know, just blatant and gross photoshopping. So, no, I mean, there is no shortage of extremely evident photoshopping. There's no shortage of that. Maybe the less evident, you know, less evident evidence we have may put some people off, and they will say, oh, well, yeah, but that could be, you know, that could be just, you know, just a coincidence or you know, a bad picture. But it's, again, it's the overall picture which you need to be aware of before you make a decision of if this is valid or not. I mean, so it, again, you need patience. Then we have you just need patience for this, because they obviously was very smart to do it this way, because not everybody is proficient in photography and videos, and most people are kind of brainwashed by Hollywood imagery anyway, so, you know, many people can't really tell truth from fiction anymore looking at images, because Hollywood has it really perfect, you know. They have Independence Day was a 1996 movie. That's 5 years before 9/11, and you see the whole of New York being attacked by aliens and buildings collapsing top down, you know. The Empire State Buildings collapses in like 4 seconds, exploding from the top. So there was quite a bit of conditioning going on there in the years before 9/11, and Hollywood is packed with Hollywood is packed with small, you know, 9/11 hints and stuff.
Like the lone gunman thing and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. And with Neo's passport in Matrix. You know, his birth date? No, the expiry date of his passport. The expiry date of his passport
is 9/11,
2001.
Yeah,
you know what? How crazier can it get? And that's precisely, you know, that this movie, you know, Matrix talks exactly about, you know, living in a world, you know, you take the blue pill or red pill if you wanna be a blue piller or a red piller, and that's the world we live in fact. But it's not that dramatic. I mean, we really just have to pinpoint what is wrong. What is wrong in this world is mainly, of course, the powers that be, but media, mostly media. We can start by switching off the TV if we can. Anybody who can just throw the TV out of the house is welcome to do that, as far as I'm concerned. or maybe just use television to, you know, watch, you know, selected films you want to see, but, you know, never watch the news. The news is just an enormous constant pack of lies and mind conditioning and a war mongering machine. You know, they are helping, you know, making warfare with TV news, with fake TV news. So that would be a good, you know, result of our research. The people start being extremely, very, very wary of the news media. You know, just don't believe a thing of it. That would be a good start. But, you know, I know maybe many people are, they are wary of the news, but not enough. Very, very far from not enough. We need to go much further and just, you know, throw it out of the window.
Yeah, so, it's outlived. No, I'm saying it's outlived its time. I think even a good portion of the public is realizing it now. But it's really just not enough. People still need to turn the if you can't decipher it, turn it off. Every now and then I'll turn it on just to see what they're telling people. But besides that, you know, it's just ridiculous. People that go there for their news and don't look into it, and, you know, on their own account. That's all I got to add on that, you know.
Well, here's something I already know because we already spoke before, but, you know, I'm sure some of the listeners want to know. What type of opposition have you ever encountered because, you know, putting the actual truth out? I mean, has anybody ever, you know, tried to contact you, threaten you, anything like that?
No, not really. I tend to say no, but obviously maybe strange emails or, yeah, you know, but that doesn't really worry me much. Strange emails with, you know, veiled threats or bullshit. But mostly, you know, trolling on the forum, people coming and trolling and pretending to be, you know, supportive and then turning against you. That's that kind of thing. That's very frequent. And so we have a little bit of, you know, we are a bit rigid on the forum to weed out as soon as we see somebody behaving funny. He has to be blocked. What can we do, you know? We're trying to keep, you know, discussion going in an intelligent manner on the forum, and we just can't have clowns there. I'm talking about the Cruise forum now, which is going well, actually. I mean, we have a good traffic there, and people from all over the world, from all kinds of lines of work, and even engineers and photography experts and so on. So we have a good team, I think, now. We're doing headway. I don't know, Brian. I've never felt really, you know, threatened or never had any problems with that.
Well, that's good. And you know, I was glad that you said that when you did. Why did you decide
because
to come on
the show? The last thing we have to do is, you know, to get balked by, you know, fear and paranoia. I mean, we don't need that. The fear mongering is what they like to do. They want to make you believe that it's dangerous to confront the powers, but I don't think that's what they do anymore. I mean, they know very well that if they're gonna harm somebody who really exposes them, those people will be more, you know, people will pay attention then. The best thing they can do is ignore our research, for instance, just ignore it, or have all these trolls they have used for 40 years. I think many of the same people who have been working to counter the moon hoax revelations. I mean, they probably have a team, you know, working 24/7, trolling forums that try at least to inform people about the moon hoax, the six Apollo landings. So they have a team working on this, which, you know, has obviously gathered experience, and they will turn up on forums. And we, as I said, we've been trying to keep them out of ours.
Yeah, it's odd because you don't have really a big budget at all, and they have an unlimited budget. You know, they can just keep sending people.
Sure. I mean, we are battling. It's really a, you know, how would I say, David and Goliath battle. They have an enormous budget, and we have only, you know, our staying power and good arguments, I guess. So when I see, you know, people making, they've been trying to do some debunking stuff. Like, you know, have you seen that Anthony Lawson?
Is that video? The guy with the thing that talks about an orange and all that crap?
Yeah.
Yeah, that video sucks.
It sucks, but it's funny how
it does. He tries to debunk things without even. He builds the biggest straw man arguments, and then his responses are ridiculous.
They are, and it's it looks like he's backfiring, because on his own channels, he gets, you know, people are all over him now, and it can't be an easy job for him anymore. But, you know, he did this September Cruise busted thing, and he kind of took two or three things out of my film and said, oh, well, that's stupid. But that's all. I mean, there hasn't been much. Apart from that, in 4 years, I haven't seen much debunking at all, which, you know, I've obviously been following it. I've been, you know, interested in seeing what would people say, you know, against September Cruise. There aren't many. There's this Jason Burmes, who is supposed to be, you know, one of the three creators of Loose Change. And he also just goes, oh, that's bullshit. September Cruise is bullshit. But he doesn't really, you know, explain why he thinks it's bullshit.
No, and he tries to associate your movie with other people that they planted to make it look like it's their product.
Mm.
He tries to make it sound like Nico Haupt and the Web Fairy are behind your movie.
Exactly.
And you nothing to do with them. I want to make that clear. I'd like you to clear that air with everybody that, you know, that you have no association with any of these people, and that shouldn't make anybody suspicious. That's a good thing. You don't want to be tied into any of these gatekeepers. Just stay away from them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I've never heard Jason Burmes, you know, pronounce my name, although people apparently call him in on his show, and, you know, they say September Cruise, but he talks about Nico Haupt. And Alex Jones, the same. I mean, Alex Jones has also had his fair share of callers talking about September Cruise, but he very, very carefully never mentions my name. But that's okay. I mean, I'm glad he doesn't. But I wouldn't like to hear my name from his mouth. But he does that, obviously, to, you know, he doesn't want to you know, to give a clue for people where to go, and maybe people will go and watch some other thing, or the, you know, September Cruise is September Cruise is the word they have to say, because people are, you know, calling in asking about the film. But Alex, you know, again, I'm not worried about not being cited. You know, I'm not in it for the money or the fame at all. You know, I enjoy doing this, and I think it's a public service.
Right.
Try to look at it this way.
No, you put a lot of time in, man. You guys really did put a lot of time. People don't understand what research in 9/11 is like. You can't just go watch a couple documentaries or have somebody tell you what happened. You got to dig and dig and dig into so many areas and behind so many facades, and it's just crazy. What made you decide to come on this show?
Because I listened to your show some while back, and I mean, we got in touch, and I listened to your show, and you sound very, you know, you sound very articulate, and you can present things well. I mean, I was amazed though how clear it was to listen to you for someone who only has, you tell me, you have only like
a year and a half years. Yeah.
So I was amazed, and then, you know, there's no reason why I should think you're not what you say you are. So,
no,
I think I've gained some experience to make out. I think, hopefully, to tell, you know, who is sincere and who isn't. And yeah. You just sounded sincere, and here I am, you know. I hope you'll go, you know, you'll keep it up, really. I hope you guys will keep it up. I hope
absolutely.
We'll always become more numerous and we'll make more headway.
That's what we're trying to do. Trying to get it out there at least, you know, to that many more people. So, you know, people don't, you know, stop and actually, especially if people want, you know, if you want the real truth, this is, you're going to have to watch some things that the gatekeepers told you not to watch. You're going to have to look into some things that might seem taboo, you know, and that's the whole thing when it comes down to it, you know. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand if you're a serious researcher, why you wouldn't want to. You know, and that's the main thing, but pretty much, yeah, I gotta say that the main thing here is if it's not done anywhere soon in our generation, at least they'll know, you know, say 80 years from now when they finally do, arrest these people or whatever, that, hey, you know, these people worked on it back then and, you know, it was their investment, you know, that we went off, who knows, you know, I don't know. I don't know when they're going to get caught, but if they ever do, we'll say, you know. Knowing you're on the right side.
No, I don't expect you to know, you know, exactly who's calling the shots here and all that. But you think I know you think this Steve Rosenbaum might be highly involved, right?
Yeah, I mean on the video side. Yeah, I mean I'm sure he's not, you know.
Oh, he's sure no bigwig, you know, by any means, but maybe he's somebody that people can get to. Yeah.
He's just one of the guys, I'm pretty sure, I mean, is involved with it because he actually, what he says is that he put some kind of ad in Village Voice and around New York after 9/11 to ask amateur videographers to give him their footage, you know? And he said, yeah, I collected this way like 500 hours of footage, you know? Do you believe that?
No, I mean, I don't even believe
who
that.
Just hand out their very, very precious 9/11 footage to one guy and
500 hours, Simon? Do you think there would really be 500 hours worth of video? I mean, that's a lot of video.
No. They want you to believe there is so everybody was filming. You know, that's very important for them to. They want to. Everybody has to believe that there were a million people out there that morning, and everybody was able to film. No, so obviously they're going to say 500 hours.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is there weren't people out there that day. They had this the couple blocks cordoned off, if not bigger, and nobody was allowed. Nobody was allowed in that area, guys, and nobody was allowed to take independent photo or video because that would absolutely contradict all the CGI they did. And when you have those to compare, I mean, they're done, right?
Not only weren't they allowed, but most likely, and that's another, you know, speculation maybe, but it's a very reasonable speculation. There would be at least one technological weapon, war weapon they used that day. And that's, you know, electromagnetic jamming. That's something that exists. There's no denying that this technology exists. With with HERF or EMP technology, you can calibrate a jamming signal that just stops cameras from working. And they actually, you know, bled off. I think what happened was that it bled off into all the cell phones too. And there was no cell phones working that day. Everybody says that. There's no mystery there.
I'm in Connecticut, and I remember even us having problems calling for a couple hours, and you know, so I mean, I don't know if it spread over here, but I remember for a little while it was hard, you know, with cell phones and everything.
I've had lots of people. Yeah, thanks. I've had lots of people telling me this, and even had one guy who says he was there down there with his new video camera, with full you know charged batteries and all, and he wouldn't start. He was trying to film something. He was obviously up north in Manhattan, but he was trying to film downwards to terrace. And it just wouldn't start. The camera wouldn't, you know. So the red light wouldn't come on. So he just ran away because police started pushing me away, further away. And he ran home. And after everything was over, like two hours later, he started the camera and it worked fine again. So, and he's been, you know, writing me long, long letters, detailed letters about his experience. Now, you're telling me why don't I have hundreds such stories? Well, first of all, some, you know, if this occurred to a few people, they would first have to find my research. Then they would have to, you know, to have a suspicion about their camera not working properly. And then even, you know, there is an element of fear, you know. If I'm going to say this, I'm going to be involved in all this crap.
Right.
So I'm not surprised that it's not so surprising that I have only like three, you know, witnesses to cameras not working. But hopefully, you know, we'll have more one day. We'll have more witness testimonies. But basically, as Brian recalled, there weren't people there. I mean, the whole place was ringed off. It was an ideal place. That's the end of Manhattan. That's just, you know, it's an island that stops there. You just, you know, cordon it off that morning. And you're going to bring down 9 buildings there. So you're not going to let people walk into that place. You know, that would be stupid. You want that place empty, no people. And so you will reduce to a minimum anybody who happened to walk around with a video camera on a average Tuesday morning. You know, how many people would do that anyway? They were able to keep private imagery at the total minimum. Maybe somebody managed to film something, but I haven't seen a single video that looks authentic.
Right.
And that's after 4 years of, you know, looking for everything.
What they would do most likely is just put all their stuff on a certain signal or whatever. So whatever, you know, if they wanted to make something.
You gotta shield it. Shield your equipment, I think.
Oh, okay, so you would put it in one of those Faraday cages or something.
Yeah. You might, you know, maybe the perps of the team that went around filming something, which they then used,
right,
and edited appropriately. You know, they wouldn't show
exactly
a few things that were, you know, weren't supposed to be seen. So maybe, you know, there is some material which is mixed up with maybe, but I. Maybe, you know, these Nolde brothers, the two French guys, maybe had some Faraday cameras. They could film a few scenes, you know, that looked really good.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, also be aware that, you know, they might have used different techniques to make these videos, not only total CGI, or they could have filmed some sceneries here and there. And but that's, you know, that's speculation. We what we know, the important thing we need to all agree with, it's looking and comparing at the tower collapses, for instance. They just don't match up. They just don't add up. If you compare them, it's not the same event. You can compare them in many different ways, and none of them adds up. And the bulk of these images are taken from like three different vantage points. But from these three vantage points, you have like, you know, 25 videos for one and 30 for the other, and they look almost the same. They just slightly rotated, so they will look slightly different, and you have to imagine that for each of them there is different amateur videographer, you know. So it's pretty clever, but they cocked up technically, you know. You can see that they don't add up.
Do you think that's more to the technology or the sheer lack of the volume of the size of the project?
I think it's the sheer volume of the project. You know, you might also, you know, it's not really important in the end to be sure of if there was some whistleblower, you know, making these mistakes, or if it was sheer incompetence. It might be either way, but the fact is that they don't add up. You know, that's the fact. They are not consistent with each other. They don't show the same event. Because of the many differences, even the color. I mean, sometimes the smoke is white, and on another video, which is supposed to be the same second, the smoke is pitch black. You know, just to say something easy to understand. Some buildings will be missing sometimes because they just don't, you know, render properly into the picture. We'll have trees and lampposts on different places. It's a mess. It's a real mess.
Yeah, it really is. For you guys that don't know what he's talking about, he has some shots like, you know, they're supposed to be from the same spot about the same time with the video camera. And you can see that there's a tree that got moved, and you can see that there's a street light that's missing. It's ridiculous. I mean, that just can't happen. I mean, trees don't get up and walk away.
I think the one you're talking about is pretty recent. I found it the other day. It's you actually have this lamppost. I mean, okay, we have two pictures of the same square with people on them, okay, running away. And the one has a lamppost down in the bottom of the square.
You have a link,
and
Simon? Can you throw a link
and
up
a tree
for these
on
guys?
The left. Yeah. Let me send you a link.
Throw it right in the chat.
And the other picture, the guy hasn't moved, but the lamppost has moved much closer.
It's all the way farther away at the end of it, right? It's like against against the building, correct?
And the tree on his left has disappeared. You know, right. It's not there anymore.
Right.
So it's funny, really.
If anybody that thinks this, you know, this sounds crazy, just go back and look at the video now, and just be thinking when you're looking at it that hey. This is a graphic, and you'll start to notice. You'll just start to notice how off some things look. The colors are way off. Things are washed out. It's really strange. And, you know, all the rendering issues and everything, you know, with things disappearing and getting all screwed up and choppy looking, it's out of control, man. It's everywhere.
Another good thing to do would be is if you can get a split screen. There's a lot of programs out there. Get a split screen and watch, you know, a couple different official you know, say CBS and the local Fox one or whatever it was, and you know, so we even some of the amateur ones, just you know, put them next to each other and look at them, and you'll see that you know the backgrounds are different, or this is you know little things like it just doesn't make sense, you know. This is the only thing that makes sense. In other words,
I just sent a link to that Ben Reisman comparison.
Okay. I'll throw it in the chat for everybody.
Yeah. But it's only one of many, many others. But it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, they're everywhere. I mean, you guys have found a ton of them. I mean, it's all over the place, guys. This isn't like one or two errors. I mean, this is everywhere. Every shot is contrived. You know, I know that you said every bit of the imagery was fake. What about the street interviews? Are those pre-taped street interviews, or are those people standing in front of screens? What's your opinion on that?
Well, let's take, for instance, Rick Leventhal. You remember him?
Yep.
It's the guy who...
The Holly guy.
Yeah, the guy who interviews the Holly guy. Mm-hmm. Which, actually, the Holly guy, this has to be said, we finally found who he was. He was just one, yet another Fox employee, or ex-Fox employee. His name is Mark Psycho Walsh. I mean, they call him Psycho on some crazy radio program. But he's an existing person, I think. This Mark Walsh, he works for Fox.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Rick Leventhal is standing. You know, we always see him standing on his church or Reed Street intersection and walking up and down there. And in the background, we just see smoke. We just see smoke. So that's, you know, we don't see any detail in the background. He's looking. Ah, he's saying the towers just fell down and people are running away. And now we're going to interview a few of them. That could have been done, you know, in a studio in Los Angeles. You know, green screen or not green screen or any kind of technique. But it's green screen because now I remember we found some clues for that. But in any case, that could have been even staged live. You know, Rick Leventhal could have, you know, been cued from the studio to do his interviews, but he wasn't there. He wasn't underneath the towers. He was somewhere else. And that's actually very easy to do. It's not a big deal technically to do such a setup.
That's what people don't understand. They think it's like so far beyond. I mean, this is child's play for them, really. It's really child's play.
Oh, yes. Well, I remember. I'll post you another link, maybe. On the Rick Leventhal issue, because but you have to realize that the same pictures you all saw in America, they were the same that were shown everywhere, even in Japan. And I actually found a Japanese journalist, you know, reporter, standing in exact same intersection as Rick Leventhal. So, you know, what are the odds of that? And he's exactly in the same place. And,
same time.
And
they should be in each other's shot if it's a real shot.
And some lampposts are missing behind the Japanese guy. And yeah, it's funny. Let me see if I can find it. Where was it now? Right here. There we go. Oops, no. Okay, Rick Leventhal. I'm gonna check. Leventhal.
So what's the biggest thing you guys are on now? The collapse footage, the debris, what's the story?
We've been working on the on the collapse footage lately, because there have been all these new, you know, these new releases by NIST, and so we had to break them down. You know, they looked more slicker and higher quality than the old ones. Mm-hmm. But so we've had some fun with that, we just keep finding problems with them. And then, you know, we actually do lots of things on the forum. We aren't saying we have finished off with 9/11, but we're also looking at other things in the world. So 9/11 now is kind of, I actually have to maybe do a thread compiling all the best stuff on the forum, because it's hard to find every single good finding we have spread all over the forum. So I need to do some, you know, summary of all this.
And you know what, guys? Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes, okay? You're listening to Dose of Reality with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and special guest Simon Shack. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm here with Justin Cook and our special guest today, Simon Shack. Justin, you have anything you wanted to ask Simon? I'm sure you must have a couple things.
Trying to think of, not this second. Let me think of a couple things. I'm trying to think, we hit most of it.
Simon, what else you want? What else you want to touch on off the top of your head?
Well, just to say, I sent you a link about the Japanese TV thing.
Yep, I put it in the chat for everybody.
Okie doke. What can I say? We have been talking about mostly collapses and big sims. Well, that's it, really. I mean, the airplanes were the first thing. I mean, maybe I want to say one thing. For anyone who has not seen September Clues yet, that was obviously something I made in 2007, and updated it a bit in 2008, and that only deals with the planes, actually. I don't really show much of the collapse footage being fake, because at the time I wasn't really, you know, aware of the extent of the fakery. But it's a place to start, because that's where I analyzed the actual live footage, which was shown on the five big networks. But it has to be clear for anyone that a few things I speculate in September Clues maybe aren't exactly what we think now. For instance, the idea that, you know, maybe a missile was used for the second tower, I'm not so sure about that anymore. They probably didn't need even anything hitting the building, because it was all a magic trick. It was a bit like a David Copperfield trick. You know, they didn't need to have any physical thing crashing into the tower, but it still maybe.
Simon, I think it was just an explosion.
I would say about that. Yeah, even if it was, it just could be an, you know, something on the inside set off at that exact time. You know, that's. Yeah.
Because, you know, if you think about it, you know, that was the south side. That's where everything was evacuated. There probably was nobody there, you know, in Battery Park behind the towers. Mm. That's, you right. know, towards the sea. So there was, you know, if you, for the planners, that would have been the obvious choice, you know, to have the second plane crash on the side where there were no people.
Right.
To see, to watch anything. And the first one, you know, you got to ask yourself, Flight 11, the first one, was supposed to have, you know, screamed all over Manhattan from top to toe. But we don't have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of witnesses right. to that thing. We should have a million people, you know, clearly recalling this screaming plane, you know, at, you know, 300 feet or 1,000 feet. 300 meters on top of their heads. I mean, that should have been really, really loud and traumatic.
We just
don't have it. We don't have those people.
You know what really makes me wonder is the Nordettes. I think it was somebody mentioned about how they just happened to be in that one spot and happened to be looking up. You know, it's
amazing,
it's
so, isn't it?
Simon, yeah, tell them about the towers, the way it's set up. You can't even see the towers.
No, I mean, you can't see the towers from many places in Manhattan. I haven't been there for many years, but I have been there. And when I was there, I lived in Houston Street, which is just two blocks from the towers. And it took me, you know, I was a eager photographer walking around all over the place and, you know, taking pictures of Manhattan. And it took me 3 days to even see the towers, you know, to notice they were there. I had to go, you know, around this particular corner and, wow. There were the towers. So it's not like the towers can be seen from every place in Manhattan. It's amazing, all these amateur videos, which it looks like, you know, wherever you stand in New York, you can see them. But most of these vantage points are completely invented. And where the, you can actually, okay, the Nordic brothers, they chose a place where you could have seen the towers there, but it was one of the rare places you could see the right. towers from any kind of distance.
And here's the funny thing about that is these same people had you know, supposedly just had a gas leak a few weeks before it that actually killed a couple of firefighters, and it was just weird how it was so nonchalant and everybody's walking around and, you know, at this gas leak and it just happens, you know, to pan up and get the money shot. I don't know. It's like anything else. What are the chances of it? You know, of them, you know, standing right in the middle of the street.
I hate to say this to make, you know, publicity for that horrible propaganda movie, but, you know, the Nordic film 9/11, it's called Just 9/11. You can buy it. We can buy it in any DVD store. And if you do, you can just, if you know, if you hear their story, you know, that they were just happened to be following a newbie, you know, and firefighter, young firefighter who was, you know, waiting for his first fire. And they were just idling about for weeks, and then suddenly there was a call for a gas leak, and so they rushed there, and the newbie came with them, and they saw this. They just happened to pan up the camera and take the first plane, and that's the only existing video of Flight 11. If we discount the Pavel Hlava, some Czech guy. Czechoslovakia, but anyway, that you don't see anything on that one. But the only clear picture of a plane hitting Tower One is by these two Frenchmen. And the it's a big Paramount film. It's, you know, it's a full-fledged Hollywood movie. This thing, 9/11, by the Nolia brothers, and it is so corny and so contrived that you scream.
Right
at the end, you know, and even the sad thing is that, you know, the testimonial for the film was Robert De Niro, but obviously Robert De Niro is also on the board of directors of the 9/11 Memorial Museum. So right. Unfortunately,
which is opening up on the 11th anniversary, of course. So
fortunately, there are many, you know, sweethearts of America involved, you know, because Hollywood is involved in this in some way. Right. Just like Hollywood, you know, in brackets, was involved with NASA to fake the moon landings. You know, it would be funny for many people to hear Hollywood involved in such a horrible thing, but that's just the
Simon,
way it is.
Do you think it was Stanley Kubrick who did that?
We've been debating about this lately, actually, in the forum, and I've been on and off believing that Stanley Kubrick was involved. I'm not sure either way right now, but it looks very possible.
He was very, very big into the occult, into the into that type of stuff. So I mean, very possible. I don't know.
I mean, you got to ask yourself why in many different movies he like in Shining he has got this kid Danny, you know, wearing a sweater with Apollo 11 stitched on it, you know. And then, but the most interesting thing, I think, is his last film, just before he passed away.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut was, he'd insisted that it would be released on exactly 30 years on the day of the Apollo 11 launch.
Wow.
Which was 1969, July 26th, was it? Yeah, I think.
Justin, I have to step away 1 second.
I mean, a bit amazing that, you know, he would have, why would he insist this film to come out on that day? But that's how it is. You know, it sounds like, you know, an epitaph, you know, something he left, you know, for people to ponder about.
Right. You know, it's really, and if anyone's seen Eyes Wide Shut and understood it, it was a totally thing about, like, you know, these occult rituals that go on with this, you know, upper class, you know, elites in New York City with this, you know, sex occult, you know, sex magic, whatever you want to call it. And I think they even took some stuff out after he died, which is...
It was butchered by MGM. They make no, you know, secret about it. They say, yeah, we had to re-edit it, the film, and who knows
right.
what they cut out.
Right.
Who knows, you know. So, yeah, there's some pretty few mysteries there. But, you know... What makes me think that Stanley Kubrick wasn't involved? That because he was very, very clever guy, and the moon imagery is awful. It's just horribly flawed, you know.
It's terrible.
If he had been the director, he would have been done a much better job.
You know, I'm kind of glad you brought that up, Simon, because you know our next show, we're actually going to maybe not our next show, but maybe it will be. We're going to do a moon hoax special, and you know most people don't need it because it's so obvious, but
yeah.
There's some new listeners we have and stuff that really haven't seen that. But how long did you spend on the moon hoax? I don't want to get too far off 9/11. I know that's what everybody's here for, but let's talk about a couple other things while you're here. How long did you spend on the moon hoax?
Listen, I you won't believe this, but I hadn't started looking into the moon hoax before I looked into 9/11.
I believe that it
took me also actually, when I released September Clues, I told myself, well, maybe not, let me not mention that I doubt about the moon landings, you know, because that will bring me into the crowd, which I will be, you know, attacked for this. So I would just pretend I wasn't interested in the moon landings. But I realized that I had to, and actually on the forum, we now have a really, really long thread about the moon hoax. And we've been adding really good stuff lately, actually. If you go on the Clues forum, we have a moon hoax thread. With we have a new member who's really good. He's called Holy Crap. And he's doing some excellent photo analysis. So what was your question? Brian, sorry.
No, it's all right. It was something about the moon hoax. It was just how...
How long?
Sorry,
how
guys,
long?
My throat.
Not so long is my answer. Not so long, actually.
Yeah, just a couple days. I mean, really, all it takes.
Yeah, it doesn't take a little, but you know, it took me because I'm believe it or not, I'm very careful before I, you know, take a decision to believe in something or another. So it took me long to really be convinced about the moon landings. But then, you know, lately there have been so I've you know bumped into I can just recommend one book, and that was written in 1974. Bill Kaysing, you just buy that book. It's not expensive. On Amazon, you find it for $11 or something, or 11, 10 or 11. Bill Kaysing was just, he was a guy who worked, you know, doing the rockets for NASA, and then he defected, and he said he was, you know, he got tired, and he wrote this book only 2 years after Apollo 17, and it's called We Never Walked on the Moon. And it's amazing, you know, that for so long, I'd never heard of that book. A friend brought me the Italian version for my birthday a few months ago.
Now, who wrote the book?
Bill Kaysing.
From the CIA?
No. Bill Kaysing worked for Rocketdyne, you know, a NASA contractor who did the, apparently, you know, tested the rockets, and he said these rockets kept blowing up, so he wondered how the hell are we going to get to the moon, you know. And at a very late stage he just resigned, and then he said that soon after they announced the Apollo 11 landing, he was, you know, he said no, come on, that's bullshit. There's no way did they get to the moon with that structure, the organization, which was a whole shambles, as he describes it, you know. Apparently, what the understanding I get of what NASA is just a big, big industry with lots of people being rotated from one assignment to the other just to keep the machine going. Uh-huh. That's what Bill Kaysing explains, you know. He one very interesting quote of his book is, well, just when a team was actually, you know, coming, finishing their task, they were suddenly displaced to another section. So, you know, that's how they work, make people work there. Probably honest people, which have wages to work there. And then they just, you know, interchange their roles and make, you know, start another chain of tasks. But nobody actually knows what the, you know, what the end result is of their efforts. I don't know. I mean, it's very interesting to read from an insider like Bill Kaysing, and that book came out in 1974, the first version. And unfortunately, he passed away in 2005. But he was surely a great man. And then you have. For the Moon Hoax, I recommend another read, and that's Walk in the Moon Doggy. Just Google Walk in the Moon Doggy.
Yeah, I threw that in the chat earlier. That's the one I gave you, Brian, the other night to read. Yeah. Wagging the Moon Doggy. That one without a doubt was what turned me. You know, even before I went and watched the videos, that's what totally just. You know, blew it out of my mind.
Yeah,
you know, because, the whole Apollo thing.
You think it's some of the same people, Simon? Some of the same people still left over from that worked on 9/11? I know they'd be kind of old and probably ready to retire, but.
Same, not necessarily the same people, but, you know, same structure of. Same structure that.
Right.
Because NASA keeps doing Fakery 2. We can talk
about
that. That's for a whole different show, radio show. But I have found out a lot about the space shuttle too.
So we'll take that
at a time.
Simon, real quick, do you have any thoughts on Project Bluebeam? Do you think they'll pull that off? Something like a fake alien invasion, or
I don't know. I'm not really into that, and I fear. I mean, my feeling is that it's. It's just some things, you know, to keep some, first of all, to you know, again, fodder for conspiracy theories to be, you know, going, wow, and this about. And I have no reason to really believe in that right now. I mean, maybe they will try to pull off some crazy thing. You know, you can expect
until,
anything.
Until it happens, pretty much, then you worry about it, in other words.
Right. But I've seen some of the Bluebeam stuff, and it looks like, you know, they want to make you believe that holographic stuff is advanced and so on. And, you know, one of the themes of the people wanted to ridicule TV fake research is they say, oh, these guys believe in holograms. The planes were holograms. Well, we never said that. I mean, nothing to do with holograms was that people are so attached that there are so many eyewitnesses. But the eyewitnesses are all actors or media people. So they only needed to make a bunch of eyewitness reports, you know, and just put them on the newspapers, and so people would believe that everyone saw a commercial plane. So you don't need holograms to do that. You just need the control of the media. And that's what they had. And they used it to their best effect.
What a psyop, huh? Huge psyop.
Yeah. We need to... I think my hope is that we can reduce, you know, the number of, you know, of crazy ideas they might come up with in the future.
Right. Right. By the more people that'll see through it, the better. In other words, so they might say, hey, now only 5% or 3% will see through it. The more awareness we get out there, next time they're going to think twice before they do something really dumb out in the open, you know.
Right.
Because that's the thing is when they do it in TV, guys, and you have you know, your so-called proof of seeing it with your own eyes, that, you know, that's all it takes for you to go on. And, you know, everybody was fired up after, you know, after that. They wanted to go after, you know, after 9/11, you know, people wanted to sign up to go to war the next day and everything else. And that's what it was for, is to get your emotions. That's what, you know, that's why they fake jumpers. That's why the whole...
Right.
You know, the whole thing together. It just was to get your emotions up there, and it worked.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't mention much about the fake jumpers tonight, but
let's go. Let's talk about it.
We obviously have a dedicated thread. It's called The Falling Man on Clues Forum Info. So shall I link that to you?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. Falling Man is here. Falling Man. And basically, we've gone through all the, you know, virtually all the existing imagery of falling people, of those jumpers. And they're all fake, too. That's a very, very simple job to do, CGIs of falling, you know, falling pixels.
It's real easy. I saw that clip you put up on your site with that little movie from like 1995.
Oh yeah, right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but there are many. You know, imagine how many Hollywood films have you seen with falling people from skyscrapers? Do you think they fall for real? Huh. Come on. So they never fall for real. They do this on computer, and the problem is that the 9/11 jumpers are really, you know, bad. You can see it in many ways. There are many ways, different ways of detecting that they are fake. One thing I can explain with words is probably, you know, you have one little clip. You see one guy falling. He's like he's like 7 feet from the wall. Okay. From the side of the tower. And 1 second later, we have another guy. And he's like, 26 feet from the wall? So we have to imagine that the second guy is, you know, a long-distance jumper from the Olympics. How did the second guy fall so much further away from the side? It's not like there was a hurricane a day, you know, could push him out from the tower.
Or he had a catapult.
Yeah. But that's just one of the examples. You know, it's hard to describe. That's the problem here with this research. It's hard to describe many of these things in words. You have to watch the images and compare and decide for yourself. So the Falling Man is a pretty long thread. It's really, we've been very, you know, we have comprehensively looked at these jumpers, and they are just all fake. There's no question about it.
That was one of the first things I realized on realizing that the whole thing was fake, that the victims were fake and everything was the jumpers. And that made me dig some more, and that was pretty crazy to learn that. That wasn't really that hard to spot either. I mean, there's a lot of manipulation going on there.
Yeah. Well, you have to think about how important it was to fake these 200 people. You know, there was to have this story going. That was crucial because that would firstly imprint in everyone's minds that the towers were full of people, firstly.
Right.
And it would imprint, you know, this shock and awe thing that, you know, wow, they've jumped to their death. So poor people. So it was a very important part of the psyop.
Also, too, those are the only deaths you saw with your own eyes, so you thought, you know, and that was another thing, too. So, you know, you thought that you were seeing this, you know, type of thing. It's definitely a whole big psyop just in itself.
Sure.
In the chat, Bobby Ruggs is talking about Edna Cintron, I think. He's like, I still like the lady standing with the molten heat where the plane entered, and it wasn't hot enough to melt her, but she's still standing there. But it melted the steel. That'd be the Edna Cintron, right?
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
No, but that's, you know, I warn you. I mean, I'm sure you guys are warned, but obviously the fact that nobody died, which we believe, that's the ultimate taboo of that the 9/11 truth movement will never go there. They have gone as far as making Ace Baker do his, you know, his little film, which is actually, you know, plagiarism. You know, he came out just after September Cruise, and he contacted me and said, hey, I love your film. Can I present it at a truth conference? And I said, yeah, sure. And next thing I knew, after a few months, he was saying, well, I've looked at September Clues, and 95% of September Clues is false. The real truth is coming up in my new movie.
Oh, you know, wow.
That was he. That's Ace Baker for you. So Ace Baker or nobody else, I don't think they will ever have somebody, you know, or, well, actually, we have Let's Roll forums, but I think, you know, yeah, they have some good researchers over there, but problem is the owner of that forum is a bit strange, to say it mildly. In any case, you know, the jumpers is also a very important thing for the purpose to keep alive. You know, that has to be real. You know, that they can even accept that the planes were fake, or they can go with that, but they will always say, "Oh, these poor jumpers," you know, because the people there must be real, and there must have been victims.
Anybody that's listening, if you guys check that link I posted in the chat, The Falling Man, that's what Simon's talking about with the jumpers. Go in there and check out some of that stuff. Make sure you check out his forum. There's a gold mine of information on there. And make sure after the show you definitely catch September Clues if you haven't yet. I hope everybody that's here has already, but
honestly,
I know something.
I'm going to throw that in the chat for you guys anyway, just so in case you don't know how to use Google. Just so it's right there for you. No excuse not to watch it if you haven't yet.
But Simon, listen to this, Brian. Just to end off this little parenthesis on the jumpers. Do you know that? guess who was the first who said how many jumpers there were? Because apparently, you know, there was a mystery of how many had jumped. So it was ABC News did an investigation and found out there were like 203 or something. So once again, you have ABC coming up with the investigation, you know.
Yeah.
And they ABC, of course,
as much as anybody.
At the beginning of the show, we mentioned ABC supposedly doing a FOIA act against NIST to get all this new footage out. So they're all playing, you know, they're just playing with us.
They're trying to pretend that they actually do investigative reporting still. So
yeah, they're investigating themselves, you know, between each other and blaming each other for blaming each other for hiding videos.
Just like the left-right paradigm, same thing. You know, just like the...
It's all about division.
Exactly.
No, but, you know, the media has to always uphold the idea that they are the, you know, they are the people investigating, you know, investigative journalism. It's still alive and well, alive and kicking. So, you know, they have these ABC investigations coming up now and then. But obviously ABC was in on it to its neck. You know, they were the ones who aired the whole thing with their fellow networks.
One of the chatters wanted to know what you think of Barbara. What is that? Barbara Honegger?
Honegger.
Who's that?
Barbara Honegger. Hold on. Who's that?
H-O-N-E-G-G-E-R.
Yeah, what about her? Is she in the memorials?
I don't know. Do no good. Who is that? How do you know this person you're asking about? I don't know. See if they put it in the chat. I don't know who it is off the top of my head either.
Oh, was it in the chat? Oh, sorry. I was on another page here. Barbara Honegger. Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Well, who is Barbara Honegger, please?
While Simon's thinking, I was going to say, too, another thing is real quick is how about the XIF data on a lot of these victims' pictures and the fact that the CNN ended up taking them down once people were realizing that, you know, the last edited dates were, on 9/11 or before 9/11. So, you know, you had a lot of the heroes and whatnot showing up with their obituaries already last edited.
That was actually one of the discoveries of Hoi Polloi. I remember him looking into the EXIF data for the first time.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't even aware of it. Yeah.
I guess Barbara Honegger was at ConCon and she did September Clues. Do No Good is saying in the chat.
She was at ConCon and Well, I still don't get who she's supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
She was one who dissed September Clues. Okay. I don't know her, unfortunately.
Former presidential aide to Carter. So there you go.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Guys, we're gonna take another break. Okay. During this break,
I looked this Barbara Honegger up, actually, in the meanwhile.
During this break, I'm going to actually play a clip. All right, just so you guys know how retarded and ignorant and such a gatekeeper this guy is. I'm going to play a clip from Jason Burmes talking about Simon and trying to you'll see how he tries to badmouth and tie in with the Web Fairy and Nico Haup, and just everybody here needs to know that this guy isn't tied in with any of those people. That's what they want you to think, but that's not, you know, that's far from the truth.
Okay.
Really far from the truth. I seen that guy Nico acting crazy in a video yesterday, laying in the road, getting water poured on his face, screaming that he was a no planer. It was unbelievable. Did you guys see that from like 2009?
Yeah, I've seen that stuff, definitely.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break right now. Everybody that's there, just stick with us and we'll be
Sean
right back.
Sean in Minneapolis, you're on the line.
Hey, good evening to you, Jason. I want to get your perspective. I just saw a documentary recently called September Clues. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
What's your take on it?
I think it's total bull. All right. Listen, the one thing that they keep playing over and over again, nose out, nose out, nose out, Westcam, nose out. Look, that's one video. Then you look at the other videos from the other side that are much closer. And yeah, it does look like there is this protruding thing on the other side. You know, I don't know whether it's the fuselage on the plane, whether or not it was a drone, or maybe it shot a missile, or maybe it's one of the engines that pierces through. But that doesn't prove to me, quote unquote, TV fakery. On top of that, there are now, September Clues came out probably like, I want to say two plus years ago, close to 2 years ago, maybe a little bit more. It was just before we released Loose Change Final Cut. I'm pretty sure they put it out. Anyway, There are even more videos of the second plane hitting the World Trade Center released by Pentbomb only 6 months ago. A lot of the videos that were taken by amateurs. Now, anybody who, some of the amateurs were across the Hudson River, okay? And the one in particular that I like to point to that literally to me proves there is no way that TV fakery even is a remote possibility is the one over the Hudson River where you can barely see the plane. I mean, it's like this little gray blotch with wings. And as it approaches the World Trade Center, it almost blends in as they're similar colors. You know what I'm saying? And this video will coincide with the Jennifer Spell video, the CNN video, all this other stuff, right? And the flash is still there when you can barely see the plane. That flash under the right-hand side of the fuselage, basically a little bit to the left of where the engine would be, is still in the video. So you're telling me that they faked all the media reports. Then they faked all the amateur footage. No one caught amateur footage of the plane not hitting the building and never released it because the government is all-powerful, and that's something they don't control. I mean, for example, you know, when they shot that guy in Oakland, and they said, the cameras didn't work. And this is in the subway system. About six other people caught it on their cell phone cameras. You know what I'm saying? So someone would have caught the building exploding without a plane hitting it, and they wouldn't have been able to doctor it. It would have hit somewhere. You know what I'm saying? On top of that evidence, I mean, you have hundreds of eyewitnesses that a plane hit the building. Then you look at the shape of the hole. It's the exact shape of the hole that the plane hit. In other words, it has the two wing sections, it has the body section in the exact spot the videos show. And then there's just so many things wrong with it. They try to overlay videos on top of one another and say that the landscape is wrong. I can tell you from firsthand, from shooting in different, you know, with a wide angle lens, with a regular lens, shooting at 720 by 480 instead of 640 by 360, all these different things, that of course it's going to be different. You're shooting at a separate angle from a separate place with a separate type of camera. So the things that they try to overlay on top and say this should be there and that shouldn't be seen there is total bull. Okay, it's total bull. I can't even tell you how much bull it is. And it comes from a theory that was out there pretty much right after the attacks of holograms hitting the buildings instead of, you know, TV fakery and all this other stuff. And that woman, you know, she did some good research at first. I met her. She's out of her mind. She had like half of her hair cut up crazily, riding a bike and talking about, you know, I'm not kidding, man. And this is someone I conversed with back in 2002, thinking that some of her research was legitimate. Don't be fooled. And the main person, by the way, who's behind all this Westcam and the digital fakery and this whole thing, you know, he's a meth addict. I met him on the fourth anniversary of 9/11 when we only had Loose Change 1 done. We were working on Loose Change 2nd edition at the time. And I'm talking to this guy, you know, back and forth, and he's telling me that the videos are faked. And I'm like, well,
you're talking about Simon Shack?
No, I'm not talking about the guy that actually did the movie. I'm talking about the guy that the research is based on. I don't even want to say his name, to be honest. If you type in meth addict, 9/11 truth, he's insane. He's absolutely out of his mind. He puts up YouTube videos where he's wearing masks and they're talking about the murder of Dan Wallace of We Are Change. No one murdered Dan Wallace. I happen to know what happened to him. It wasn't a murder. It wasn't foul play.
Ready for the credibility?
I knew the kid. You know, I met him on several occasions. I'm good friends with Luke Radowski. You know, these people, the same character was down at Ground Zero this year, right? Okay? While I was handing out DVDs and trying to tell people the truth about 9/11, you want to know what he was doing? I'm going to tell you. He was wearing an Alex Jones mask, and he was with another person who was dressed up like Puff the Magic Dragon. He was in a Puff the Magic Dragon outfit. Okay, while the other lunatic is in an Alex Jones mask, screaming, ranting, and raving, has like a flag up of, you know, 9/11 truth co-opted TV fakery, and the other guy is dressed up like Puff the Magic Dragon. Now, I'm trying to have a serious movement where I've got literally hundreds of people in Investigate 9/11 shirts. We have real information, real billboards. We're handing out real DVDs. This guy is with somebody in a Puff the Magic Dragon outfit. I mean, does that sound like legitimate 9/11 truth to you?
That does sound comical.
It's worse than comical. It's damning to people like myself who are really trying to get a message out there. And people look at this guy and they say he's totally insane. And I'm like, yeah, he is. It's unfortunate he's here. Go ahead.
But what do you make though? And you don't even have to look at September Clues because you can look at BBC's original video footage. Jane Stanley, one of their own journalists, and BBC doesn't deny it. She reported the collapse.
All right, guys, that's about all with that. I mean, we don't need to listen to the whole thing. It is rather long. I just wanted to play that so you guys had an idea of the type of gatekeeping that's going on. All the points that Jason made were just bogus. He didn't debunk anything. Simon, you want to respond to some of this?
Oh, well, I know that little it's from a video. It's got on YouTube, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and the caller, I know, I can't remember his name, but he used to be in touch with me, and it was kind of a funny guy. Even the caller, I think, is in on it. I mean, he's like playing dog and pony with Jason. He pretended to be, you know, supportive of September Clues, and then I don't know where he is now, but at that time I remember him being very strange. So they probably just, you know, again, you know, playing in house, you know, the gatekeeping game. The caller calls in, asks for September Clues. In this case, not a real caller. I hope some of them are real. I hope some of them are real that ask about September Clues. But anyway. So as you see, Jason goes and talks about this crazy nutty guy who he doesn't even mention. He's talking about Nico Haupt, of course, but you know, people are probably supposed to think he's talking about me, you know, the September Clues maker.
Yep.
So you know, it doesn't make, you know, a little bit of confusion there for people who listen to this thing casually, of course. So people will think I'm the crazy guy who did September Clues, which does the crazy things that Nico Haupt does. So that was pretty clever. And then he goes on talking about this crazy web fairy, which is called Rosalie Grable, and she indeed looks crazy.
She's nuts.
Looks like she looks like a nutty old woman. So those two people, Nico Haupt and Web Fairy, are two very good examples of the sort of people that were assigned with kind of, you know, hinting at no playing things very early on, since 2002, actually. I think Nico Haupt has been around since day one. In fact, he ran a radio, he ran an internet thing on 9/11. Nico Haupt was, you know, on the same day on 9/11, he was already working.
Yeah.
So, you know, all this Nico Haupt, Web Fairy, those very strange-looking, nutty people have the assignment, you know, they had the assignment to be the, you know, the public faces for the new plane theme. That's, of course, very clever, because once September Clues came up, they had these people ready to say, well, we said this first, and we are the pioneers, and here we are, you know. And they started making crazy shows, radio shows, with this Paula Gloria character.
Did you see the one where Nico Haupt pretended to shoot himself to death on the Jim Fetzer show?
No, that was Ace Baker.
Oh, it was Ace Baker. I'm sorry. I was watching Ace Baker, Nico Haupt, and the Web Fairy last night. Like, I was just trying to catch up on the old stuff and see how funny it was. And that was Ace Baker. I mean, did you hear that? That was unbelievable.
Yeah. I heard that as soon as it happened, actually, because I heard the show the day after or something. And he says, you know, he like just acts like the, you know, desperate guy. Everybody hates me now. I've done this research, and I want to kill myself. And Jim Fetzer goes, no, don't do it. And then we hear a gunshot. And those people are so silly. You know, they want to look silly, because then people will associate the research with crazy people. And crazy, silly people.
I was watching the Web Fairy, so she starts talking about TV fakery, right? Then she starts twitching her whole body, and she's like, she starts talking about directed energy weapons and fucking vector mathematics, whatever that is. She sounded totally out there. I'm like, wow, look at this lady, man. No wonder people don't like the no planers. They think this is what it is. And then there's that video of Nico in 2009. He's down at Ground Zero, and he's like saluting like Hitler. And he's saying, Hitler, Nico, Hitler, Nico. And then he's like, he lays down on the ground, starts kibbying out, and has some dude dumping water over his face out of a bucket. And he's screaming, planer or no planer? I'm a no planer. Planer or no planer? I'm a no planer. As he's choking on water on the sidewalk in the middle of New York, like totally gone out of his mind. You know? And that's why, you know, I just want to make it clear, and I'm sure you do, that you have no association with these people whatsoever.
Whatsoever. No.
Whatsoever. So anybody that thinks, you know, this is that, the type of stuff they were pushing, if you guys have been in the movement for a while, whatever, no. This stuff's right on the money, man. And I just, you know, it's too bad you didn't have it figured out years ago, but this stuff takes time. So, you know, eventually you are going to have to make another movie. I mean, you're going to have to. You're going to have to make a movie on Dick Sims and everything. And people are going to love it. They're going to love it, you know. But you got to do it. You got to do it. But I know that's a lot of work, and you're taking some time off probably, I'm sure.
Well, I probably won't make it that long. I think it'll make, you know, some kind of condensed film. So I kind of know more or less what the most important things are now we don't need here to do a movie that goes through everything, but it has to go through the various important subjects which are more easily understandable and have the best proof. So that would be quite a challenge to do all this, but I'll do my best when the day comes.
I'm not trying to put you to work, buddy. I'm just saying you're gonna need it.
Just need more time. I just need to to run the forum and things, so I have less time than I had before, but I will do my best to get this new movie out.
I forgot what I was going to say for a second. I hate when I lose my spot like that. What do you think happened at the Pentagon? We never talked about that. You think it was just all CGI, what we saw on TV? You think they made an explosion? What do you think happened?
There is CGI on the live imagery. There is definitely CGI going on at the Pentagon. I have a simple page on septemberclues.info, just showing a few of them, and you even see the collapse, you know, the collapse as it happens. You know, we have this cameraman which miraculously zooms in on the top of the exact spot where it starts collapsing. How he knew it was going to collapse, I don't know. But then he, as it starts collapsing, he zooms out progressively, and we see a brick falling first, and then we see the whole Pentagon wall falling. And that looks so very contrived as a shot, you know? How did he know he should have zoomed in on a intact wall? How did he know it was going to collapse? And then we see it, you know, collapsing, and he zooms out perfectly. And then we have people walking by, as you know, walking from left to right. They don't even stop watching. You know, there are lots of looks like medics walking in the foreground, and they just walk by, you know, just stroll by gently. You know, you would stop in your tracks if you see, you know, Pentagon wall collapsing, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
I would stop, you know. So that's again TV fakery. But the Pentagon and Shanksville, they were just two diversions.
Yeah,
they were diversions. They needed. Think of it like they were the commercials they needed for the morning, for the TV. You know, they had to be able to switch off to some other imagery at times. You know. They couldn't switch off to a real commercial. They needed, you know, some other diversion so they could talk about, you know, while we were waiting for the towers to, you know, burn a little, you know, it took an hour for them to collapse. So we needed some other stuff to watch. And, yeah, let's make Al-Qaeda attack the Pentagon, you know. and let's have another fourth plane fall in a field somewhere. That was just, once again, their tactic of also making everything more complex, confusing, you know, making it, stirring up another bunch of theories and conspiracy theories. And it worked out well, because there are masses of researchers, both sincere and not, that concentrate their efforts on the Pentagon, or on Shanksville, and also on the, you know, World Trade Center 7. I call them candies for conspiracy theorists. You know, they give out these candies, so you spend all this time trying to wrap up this candy, and lose track of the real things you have to analyze, which, mm-hmm. of course, were the demolition of the World Trade Center complex. So they needed these diversions, and there was nothing really going on there. Some smoke bombs, maybe, on the Pentagon lawn, and again, they probably, you know, the highway where they passed in front of it, that was probably closed off before. You know, they needed to do fakery there too, because they needed to show, you know, stopped cars on the highway. They needed to show that the highway was actually now open. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I think the highway was closed. And it did. Of course, it did close it down, they say, a bit later, after the fact. But what if they just closed it down, you know, half an hour before?
Yeah, nobody's going to know the difference.
No.
So how about this? Why don't you know, let's start it at 8:40 in the morning or whatever, and give us your take. What had happened in Manhattan? Let's just stick with Manhattan. What happened in Manhattan? Yeah. Let's start with the military rolling in. If they cordoned off the street, let's start that early. If you think that's what happened.
Yeah, they very early on. FEMA was there the day before. We know that much, and they cordoned off the place. They also, one interesting thing. That comes from a friend of a friend of mine, but, you know, I can trust him pretty good. A friend of a friend of mine was in New York that morning, and he was trying to take the PATH line, you know, the tube, the subway. Tube in England. The subway, the PATH line is a subway that brings you to the World Trade Center complex, right? Mm-hmm. And that was, he remembers there was a union strike. So it was closed. So no subway getting to the place. Probably the few roads blocked, you know. And, you know, that was also the day, the last day of Giuliani. There were, you know, the mayor elections going on. So they had all kinds of pretexts to maybe, you know, right. close down bridges or roads for whatever reason. And also they would have, you know, a reduced number of people maybe around that area for this election thing, and the schools were starting, and many people would maybe bring their kids to school. So they had all kinds of things to reduce numbers, I think, mm-hmm. of people usually going to Manhattan. Then again, we also have to, you know, to have a complete picture here. We have to, maybe in another radio show, we can talk about how many tenants were there really in the towers, you know? Because people always have this question. It's a legitimate question, you know. What about those people that actually work there, you know? But what if they weren't active tenants there? What if it wasn't there? You didn't have 50,000 people there. And we are absolutely sure that they weren't, certainly not at full capacity and not at half capacity, and no. probably not even...
Maybe 20%.
Very, 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 very few tenants. And we know who they are. They're all bankers, you know, banker companies, Cantor Fitzgerald, Morgan Stanley, Marsh McLennan, you know, all very... suspect enterprises, you know, the all people who would be in on such a thing. I mean, people will know that you know, the banking system is involved with the elite of the world. I mean, that's no secret. So they probably just had a bunch of tenants who you know, gradually phased out their and displaced their workers. In fact, one thing we know for sure is that the historical tenants, most of them, actually all of them, were displaced in 1993. Why? Because of the first garage bombing. That was a pretext for emptying the towers. They said we had to do, you know, we have to do renovation and more security. So they displaced, according to a book called Divided We Stand by Eric Darton. He says that 50,000 workers were displaced. There were plenty of office space around towers, and they just emptied the tower for the, in that occasion. So I'm not saying now that the towers stayed empty from 93 to 2001, but who knows? I mean, and how many, you know, came back, and how did they? Maybe there was just, you know, the way they could empty tenants which were not in on the PSYOP, and replace them with a few controllable tenants.
Mm-hmm. That you makes see? Perfect sense, and I mean? Nobody's ever going to know.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to know, especially with all the foot traffic from the subway and, you know, going up to the observation deck and everything else. It looks like a crowded office building, even if there weren't sure. as many companies in there as we were told. And I know it was a lot less, a lot less.
Oh, and you know that you know that the rooftop didn't open before 9:30, so they wouldn't expect any tourists to be there either. You know, if you ask yourself why did the first event happen at 8:46? Why before even before 9? You know, would Laden be so stupid, you know, to crash into at such an early timeline? Well, that was important for the purpose because they didn't want to have even tourists, you know, wondering why wasn't I up on the rooftop? I was planning to go on the rooftop the morning, but the rooftop didn't open until 9:30. I know that for sure. I mean, I even have a, you know, a sign that says I've been up there myself on the rooftop many years ago. So that was handy, you know, it was handy that they did this long before 9:30.
You mean the observation deck or the observation deck or windows or both? What do you mean?
The observation deck on tower 2.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah. Tower 2. Yeah, yeah, the windows of the World Restaurant is on in what was in tower 1 and the observation deck on tower 2.
And the rumor is the restaurant was closed that day also, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, apparently, yes.
I haven't been able to confirm that, but I've read it on a few forums and stuff.
I couldn't confirm if I've... Where have you seen that?
It was just on some forums, man. That's why I can't say it's a fact. There were just regular people talking about it. It wasn't, like, reported anywhere, so I don't really
I mean, officially,
know.
Officially it wasn't, because many waiters apparently died, you know? Waiters of Windows of the World. So officially, the official line is that it was already open. But, you know, you can't believe the official line anymore.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to get into that we didn't cover tonight?
It would be fine for me. I mean, I'm okay. No, Justin, sorry.
Simon, I was going to say, obviously, too, you guys have dipped into 7/7, the Madrid bombing and everything else, too. And you pretty much found the same things as well with those as far as CGI and... Sure. I know you don't like to say fakery, but, you know, whatever you want to call it.
No, I like to say fakery. That's okay. TV fakery, you know.
Yeah, right.
I don't like no planes, you know. No planes sounds stupid.
Gotcha.
It's not just about no planes. It's about faking TV imagery, okay? So even if TV fakery is actually, oh, yeah, I think it was first coined by Nico Haupt, but I can keep that. TV fakery is an easy word to remember.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have a caller. We're going to put the caller on, okay?
Sure.
Simon, we have a caller. We're going to put them on.
Yeah.
Hey, Welcome to Dose of Reality with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and guest Simon Shack. Oh, you're on the air.
Oh, how are you doing? This is Equinox, one of the fellow members of the forum. I'll just call in to say hi and just talk about a few things about imagery.
Hi, Equinox.
Hey.
Nice to hear you.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing? Fine.
Glad you called in, man. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm just calling over my lunch break at work, so I'm going to make it pretty quick. I had to say hi to Simon Shack as well. I just want to say that the amount of findings we've found is pretty good lately. A lot of the collapsed footage findings are just unbelievable. The amount of findings we're finding. I just want to say to all the listeners out there that, yeah, it's all very viable. You can get on cruiseforum.info and see for yourself. Have that help with all the latest collapsed footage findings. All the frauds that we're finding are pretty, they're pretty bad, all of them. A lot of the rendering glitches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a ton of it, man. You guys are all over it.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know if you have a better line. I have a hard time understanding all you say, Equinox, unfortunately. But, Equinox has been helping me actually archive a lot of stuff. It is, he's a very hard worker. And it's nice to hear you, Eki. I really appreciate all your help with, cataloging, all this different new material that's coming out now. So thanks for that.
That's quite a lot. Pleasure's all mine, Simon. Thanks for all the stuff you contributed as well. It's quite fun. It's funny all the new mix stuff that's coming out, especially that rendering glitch that we found in the anonymous video. Cataloging the last page of the collapse footage, if any listeners want to have a look at that. Pleasure's all mine, Simon.
Okay, well, it's cool. It's the first time we talk, but try to get Skype here one day. So you.
Oh, this is the first time you talk to him. He's in your forum, and we set up the first phone call.
It's the first time I.
Yeah, that's the first phone call.
Awesome,
yeah,
man.
It's the first phone call. I'm actually calling on my lunch break at work. But yeah, it's the first time we've talked.
Cool. Okay, but anyway, once you have time, just download Skype so we can talk, more calmly.
Yeah, sounds cool, man. That sounds good for sure. Yeah, and just for some of the listeners out there, there's not only with the non-living imagery, but also the supposed victim memorial photos. So a ton of them photos were found. So you definitely might want to go and check that out as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just made this a very quick call. I'm calling from Australia on my lunch break at work. Probably going to get back to work right now. But keep up the good work, guys. And thanks for having us on your show. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, man. Thank you. I hope you can tune in again sometime.
Yeah, no worries. Give me a shot, man. Have a nice one.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So we set up the first call with one of your members, huh?
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to other members, but not with Equinox. He's down in Australia.
That's cool. Well, we'll probably wrap up in a few minutes. But what's your goal here? I mean, my goal is to make it so it's commonly known that the media is the enemy and people stop trusting them. I mean, is that your number one goal, basically?
Yeah, that would be the number one goal. Yeah. I mean, to make people aware that the media is not trustworthy at all. It's extremely. It's much worse than we could ever, imagine. In our wildest nightmares. So, just to make people aware of nothing in the news media is to be trusted, and that would help. Help take away some of their power. If people start laughing instead of believing at their stuff, that would be a good result already.
Right.
That's the truth. Justin, you got anything else?
No, I'm pretty much, like you guys said, of course, let everybody know the media is a joke, and pretty much besides that, have people just broaden their horizons of looking into these matters, and not getting caught up in the gatekeepers' nets. I think that's a big thing, too. But, you know, I don't know. I just want to say great job. Good to talk to you, Simon. And
my pleasure.
And besides that, thanks, everyone, for listening to us on this Easter Sunday or whatever it is for you.
Yeah, Simon, you think maybe one time we can have you back on in the near future?
No problem.
Awesome,
no
man.
Problem.
Awesome.
I enjoy this.
I really enjoy talking to you tonight. When we had a conversation on the phone the other day, it was really it was really good, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to talk with you know, in this way, in this constructive way, because I tend to say no to people inviting me to shows because they are often traps. You know, there are people kind of, you know, pulling things under your leg. So, but in this case, it's cool, and I'll be back anytime you like.
All right, awesome, man. Thank you very much for coming on. Everybody that's listening, make sure you go to septemberclues.info. First thing you need to do is watch the movie, and then after that, check out the forum, check out some of the links that he has on there that pretty much break down all these topics. I think that's about it, man. I think that's it. I think we're pretty good, and we're going to be out of here. Unless you guys got something else, that's it, right?
That's all for me. I'm
right.
Fine.
All right,
just
cool.
Well, maybe the last thing I would say it's to realize that there were probably no victims on 9/11 should be a liberating effect. It should be a liberating effect to everyone who doubts about the official story, because that's the stigma that makes people stop from, you know, going further. They always think, oh, those people, the poor people who died, but it should be. You know, I thought it hasn't happened yet, but I thought, like, when we started looking at these very fake memorials, that this would be, you know, the whole castle of cards would fall down, because once they don't have, you know, we can show that there were no victims, people will be much more eager to look into this hoax. But I just hope that would be the trigger, you know, when people start realizing that we don't have these victims, they are fictitious identities made with computer technology, then we will have maybe some real change in our quest for truth.
Yep, you're right. You're very, very right. Guys, make sure you check out the victim memorial stuff. I put the link right under the chat. If you click on that, it'll bring you right to it. Other than that, guys, we're going to wrap it up. I just want to say thank you for everybody for listening. Thanks to my co-host, Justin Cook, my special guest, Simon Shack. You've been listening to Dose of Reality with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.